Opportunity tonight to worship Him. Not just come tonight to see what I can get, but what I can give to the Lord tonight. I'm here to worship tonight. I hope you are too. I'm thankful for the opportunity. We're going to take our prayer request at this time, and I'll see if Brother Terry Horn don't mind to come and pray over these requests. While I'm thinking of it, I want to mention Brother Darrell. Just let me know in the morning he's going to be leaving. He's going to France for some meetings over there, so he's requested our prayers. So that's a big trip there. Let's remember Brother Darrell, and I'm sure the Lord will use him in a special way. Let's just pray for God's will and grace on that trip. Keziah McCoy, I got a prayer request for her tonight. She came home from school today with a headache, so let's remember that. Sister Sherry Wiggins would like for us to pray for her father, Arthur Bruce. His doctors feel that he has prostate cancer. He would be going for further testing this Friday. Most of all, please pray for his soul. My daddy's been backslid for about 20 years, and she's just asking for his prayers. Let's pray for his body and for his soul. Lord, just move for that man. Special, urgent, unspoken prayer request, no name attached, but we know the Lord knows. Christy Smith was in a car accident on the way to church tonight. She's expecting her second child. Please pray, Christy, her baby and little girl will be okay. She's very shook up, so let's remember Sister Christy tonight. My dad, Jack Yance, would like to thank everyone for the prayers and many acts of kindness. Praise the Lord for his healing touch, so we're thankful for that tonight. Dad's been recovering from back surgery. I got several things I need his help with, so just keep praying for him. Also a request for Junior Bennett, who has mouth cancer. Trust in God for a miracle, so let's remember him. Brother Baker has a special unspoken request. Also, Rachel Moyer from Ohio, having several tests this week for medical problems. Sister King, I'd like to thank you for your prayers. All went well, and thanks for the nice basket. Love to you all, Sister King, so thank the Lord for that. Please pray for Sister Aretha Cato's Aunt Ruby. She's 92, having great difficulty swallowing, so let's ask God for His grace there. Also, Sister Deanna Dixon called to request prayer for her niece's 2-year-old son. They believe he may have choked on gum and went without oxygen for an extended period of time. He's currently on a ventilator and has been flown to Lexington, Kentucky. Please pray that God will heal the child and comfort the family during this difficult time. So, very, very serious request there. And I think all of us parents can enter in for that family. So, let's stand tonight as Brother Terry comes and takes these needs to the Lord.
Certainly a joy to be back in church tonight. Amen. Let's join our faith together as we look to the Lord in behalf of these requests and believe as each one of us pray. You pray in your own way and we'll believe for these needs that's been spoken. Heavenly Father, we're thinking about this song that we sing, that how just to think that you're our defense. We sang it a couple of weeks ago that you said we could use your name to defend ourselves. God, you have the greatest defense system there ever. We have all kinds of military defense, but you gave us a defense system. It's called the token. We're thankful, Lord, that you gave us, and that covers everything. You're the greatest defender that has ever been. You've defeated every enemy, and you give us, Lord, this great defense system. And this end time, we certainly need it against the plagues and whatever more that might come. We're thankful, Lord, that you've given it to us. We're happy, Lord, that we come into the house of God. We sing that song, as we sang tonight, we think about you. You're the greatest thing. You're the love of our life. We bless your name. We come here to worship you, to seek counsel from you, if you will. Speak through the minister that he might give us understanding. Lord, just make the message personal to each one of us as we come to your house. Now, I pray for these requests. Brother Darrell will be leaving in the morning to go to France. Lord, I pray for my brother. I pray that you give him, first of all, traveling mercies. I know he's prayed about the things that he might speak over there. Give him the words to speak. May he not have to search, but Lord, may they come flowingly. May the people be blessed. Lord, maybe there be souls out there that's outside the kingdom. One would just come in a sinner that would be saved, and the trip would be well worth just one soul coming into the kingdom. And those would be healed and touched because of his prayers and his faith. God granted. Christy Smith had an accident. I pray for that baby and her other child. Lord, in each one of these requests that I hold in my hand, they're all needy requests. And each one of us, Lord, I'm sure if we would raise our hand, we'd say, I have an unsaved loved one, a father, mother, a child, a brother, sister, somebody outside the ark of safety. Somebody asked me tonight, what is it, praying for the abominations done in the city? Lord, lost humanity everywhere. Lord, may we still have that burden for lost souls to see somebody out there is still, is potentially seed, and those, there's still some seed out there somewhere. Lord, if we can touch and we pray, brood over them that they might come in. Lord, we just don't want to get out of here because things are getting tougher, but we want everyone that's ordained to life to come in and see this glorious gospel, that they too might have that peace and joy and salvation within their hearts. Lord, anoint our brothers, he speaks tonight. Lord, give us the words that he would have upon his heart, that you've laid upon his heart, that we might be better Christians. As we leave the place, I would say it's been really good to be in the house of God. Thankful, Lord, that we have that privilege again to be in your house. Each one of these requests that I did not mention, Lord, they've been read. You know, each one we committed to your hands. We believe there's faith in the building. Somebody's going to have faith for each one. We're looking for testimonies for each one. Bless all that's done and said tonight. We'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Terry. You can be seated.
Well, they bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the street in chains. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, crucify him. They struck him and they cursed him. They mocked his holy name. And all alone he suffered everything.
So appreciate that sacrifice there, and I loved what Lance, Brother Lance Parker said last Wednesday night. You know, so thankful for the death and the blood of Christ, but without the life that Christ lived, that we would have never had that spotless sacrifice. And you could tell that the Lord had just really made that real clear to Lance, and what a blessing it was. And I just thank Him for sharing it. And I've kind of had that same thought all week. I'm just so thankful for the life that He lived, and He sanctified Himself for our sakes. I appreciate that, and you know, last Wednesday night meant a lot to me. I've sat under some great services and great ministry, but I tell you, that's been a long time since something has had that big of an impact. Such a simple little sermon, but I left here Wednesday night, and I just want to do better at if you love me, keep my commandments. I want my lips to say, Lord, I love you. I want my life to scream it. Amen. Amen. I love Him. Let's surrender all that we have to Him. For a few minutes right now, let's just surrender all that we have and just praise the Lord here on Wednesday night. Can we do that? Can you lead us in that area? I surrender all. Got a quick announcement to make. There's several items in the kitchen fellowship hall that need picked up before they are removed. Also, many items on shelves and coat rack need to be removed before they are disposed of. They're going to announce that tonight, again this weekend, and then those things are going to be gone. So I guess those things kind of pile up pretty quick back there. So let's clear that out. If you've got anything you want to hold on to, you're going to have to get it tonight or this weekend. Let's sing Highway to Heaven, D. While they lift the offering tonight, let's just sing this together. Highway to Heaven. What's that first verse? If you're not walking. Highway to Heaven. that old that I can't remember this. I just can't think when I'm standing up here. Highway to heaven. If you're not walking, start while I'm talking. Let's just start singing. Maybe it'll come to us. If you're not walking, start while I'm talking. Walking up the King's highway. There's joy in the wind. Wind of my road. Walking up the King's highway. It's a Donnie gets ready to come and bring the word to us tonight. I know he's still hasn't passed that kidney stone, so he's been uncomfortable, but he's studied and he's prayed and he's prepared. And let's just plan on receiving tonight. Let's sing "I'm Amazed" as Brother Donnie comes to preach for us tonight.
I'm amazed that you love me. My
Aren't we thankful for that tonight? Yes. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. I want to speak to you tonight again on a godly man. I don't know exactly how many services that we had dealing with the sisters, but if we had 7 with the women, we probably need 21 with the men. How come all the sisters said amen, the brothers didn't say nothing? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Not only the ungodly, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I want my way to stand. I want what I do to be an everlasting memorial. I'm talking about my life. I don't want to cease to exist, not only in my body or my soul be annihilated, but I want my works, my life, and what I do to be able to stand the fire. Don't you? It'd be foolish to live our lives and everything we do be totally consumed. And then we'd stand before God with absolutely nothing. I want my works to stand. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we so love you tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've given us this privilege that we could be together again, Lord. I thank you, dear God, that you've moving for your people. I thank you, Lord, that you've moved for me. I appreciate, Lord Jesus, what you're doing in our lives. I'm just believing, Father, for every need tonight of your people. I pray that you'd help me to be able to get out of the way. May I be able to speak as the oracle of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. A godly man. To be like God. God-like. God-likeness. Let me reiterate it to you again. No doubt we have many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands of Christian men in the world. But I wonder how many godly men we would really have. A Christian man is one who has accepted Christ as his Savior and he's believing in the atonement as far as the truth that he sets under. He's accepted the perpetuation for his sins, the substantiation of Christ dying for him. He accepts that on that basis. He may never go any farther than that. Others go a little farther. They have deeper experiences, more experience with God in their soul. But then to say that a man is a godly man, to be like God. God is so wonderful, so great, and so powerful. How could any human being ever think to attain to a place to be godly? And yet we know it's something that God demands. So it's not something that we can look to and hope and well, maybe, but it's actually something that we can attain to. And it's not just something, of course, that God wants for men only. God wants it for women. He wants it for young people, for old people. It's something that he wants for every member of his mystical body. And every person, of course, in the church is not in that member of that mystical body, but every member of the mystical body must have these attributes to be like God. Then they will love what God loves. They will stand for what God stands for, and they will stand against what God stands against. Now, a Christian man can be able to love the Lord Jesus and be able to serve Him as best that he knows, but he may love a denomination, but God hates him. So he's not godly in that respect. That man may love the Lord and he don't want to go to hell. He wants to go to heaven, but yet he loves smoking. So he's not godly in that respect. He's not sanctified. So to be godly in every aspect of our life, and we may be godly in our perception of revelation. We may be really deep about certain things, but yet we have a problem turning the other cheek. We may be really, really revelated when it comes to the seals and the thunders and even in the mystery of Christ, the mystery of God revealed, but yet we would have a real problem with our temper. Or we would have a problem with some other things in our life. So you see, it's not enough to say, well, I'm so deep and I'm so, but are you proud? Do you have human pride with your depths? Then your human pride, really when you look at it, your human pride overrides the depths that you think that you have. Because pride actually comes from the devil and not from the Holy Ghost. So God doesn't just want us to be deep and to be revelated and to where we understand this and this, my, and we can just hold people spellbound by the things that we say. But God wants us to be godly in every aspect of our lives. Myself, I'd rather be a simple man and be godly in my simplicity than be a deep and be a proud man that's full of the devil. Right. Because you cannot have pride, friends, this type of a pride, and be pleasing to the Lord. It's totally impossible. But now, to be godly, it doesn't mean that you're a pushover. It doesn't mean that you don't stand for truth. It doesn't mean that you don't say things. Sometimes it's even difficult. We know that John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus, Elijah, Paul, many of the examples we have in the scripture, certainly from our own prophet himself, had to stand for things that was very hard and very difficult, and no doubt things that they wished they didn't have to say. In so much that Brother Ben would say, I wish this message was not mine to bring. It wasn't that he didn't think it was the truth, but the responsibility of bringing it was so difficult, he wished that it had not been given to him to be his law. But yet, if you are a godly man, woman, boy, or girl, you will have to take your stand. And you will be identified with what is truth. And sometimes it'll cause you to be ridiculed, laughed at, made fun of, but you'll still stand anyway, whether people understand you or not. Now, let's look at the aspect that a godly man will hate what God hates. Now listen carefully now. Brother Rem says, a man that's born of the Spirit of God hates the things of the world. Now as Christians, do we have a right to hate any human being? Absolutely not. No. You cannot hate anyone and be godly. You don't have to love their ways now. You know what? I don't like them. No, God don't like it either. But God loves the sinner. Now, God hates their sin. Now, once this, a man that's born of the Spirit of God hates the things of the world. Why does he hate the things of the world? Because God hates the things of the world. So then a person could be a Christian. A man could be a Christian and yet still be worldly. Because being a Christian does not separate you or sanctify you in your spirit from every aspect of what worldly things would be. As a matter of fact, the process of sanctification is ongoing, and it can be months and months or even years in a person's life. Now, probably most of you here tonight that say you're saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, many of us think sanctification stops in our life once we accept the thing, well, I'm sanctified. That don't mean that it's a finished work. No more than just getting the Holy Ghost one time is mean, well, I've got it forever. There's many refillings of that same Holy Ghost. So we're continually being sanctified as God will show us things in His Word and bring us to a place of separation from the world. Then we are sanctified, so it is an ongoing. You understand that? So it's not something that you arrive to once in your life. Well, praise God, I got sanctified 40 years ago and I don't need it anymore. We need it every day of our life. Because things are constantly changing around us. Right? Satan is constantly modifying, upgrading, changing sin, polishing, giving it a new look. Why? To try to move in under our noses, move into our homes, move into our churches, move into our lives. So we constantly have to look at it by the grace of God and say, Lord, sanctify me, wash me, cleanse me, help me that I can remain clean. Not just be clean once, but remain clean as a Christian. Now watch, he said, if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not even in you. Again, God hates sin and he will not let it go unjudged. And the very thing that destroyed the unbeliever took the believer to safety. It was the waters of judgment that destroyed the unbeliever. It was the same waters that packed Noah to safety. Now, the love of the world will take the unbeliever to hell. You and I hating the world will carry us right over the top of the world, take us into the presence of God. Notice this, he said, are you in this audience this afternoon, sinner? God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. Now remember, friend, there are many folks around this message that have hate in their hearts. And they try to justify their hate of other people by looking for quotes or looking for scriptures by which they will be able to justify hatred. You cannot justify hatred in a Holy Ghost-filled child of God. If God does not hate the sinner, don't tell me you're going to justify your hatred of people that do wrong against you. It's impossible. It's not godly. Praise the Lord. God hates sin, but loves. Is this true? Look, John 3:16. I don't believe it. Well, argue with Jesus. Jesus said, God so loved the world, cosmos, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So God loved the world. You mean God didn't hate him? That's a strange way to treat him. If he hated him, he sent his son for him. He loved him. Praise the Lord. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. He loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son that he might drink the bitter cup for you. Remember, he became you, Lord have mercy, that you might become him. He became a sinner separated from the Father when he screamed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was separated from God in his death. It was not God showing his love to Jesus on the cross. That was God showing his wrath. That was not God loving Jesus. That was not God showing love. That was the wrath of God. That was the judgment of God on Jesus Christ. God could not even stand but look at him. God, the Spirit, had to turn his back away. Why? God could not look upon sin. And his love for the sinner was so great, he would let his own son hang on the cross and die the death of a wretched, vile sinner. Because of love. God didn't so love the Son that he gave the Son. God so loved the world that he gave the Son. Hallelujah. He became, Lord have mercy, a child of sin. Your sins, not his own, yours. That you might become a child of obedience. Amen. A child of obedience. Now this is what God wants godly men to act like. That we don't try to justify our hatred, our indifference, our bitterness, but we look at it in God's eyes and say, if God loved the world so much, he would put his own body, his own son, to this type of humiliation, then what ought we to do? Then what about a brother that you'd have a falling out with? My, what would get on us that would make any of us want to see anybody go to hell? If there is anybody that you tonight would like to see burning in the flames of hell, you need to come right now to this altar and pray through. Right now. Don't wait till the end of this sermon. Oh my. You say they deserve it. The Bible tells me he is not willing that any should perish. That's the way he looks at them. Notice again, he said, God hates sin, but he loves a sinner. He gave his life. Sinner friend in the overflow room in the main auditorium, you want to come in tonight. You know he won't. If you knock at someone's door and they wouldn't let you in, you wouldn't go back no more. But not him. Maybe he's not for years, but sometime he'll make his final call. Would you like him to that? Notice how many times the Spirit of God knock and knock and knock and knock. Why? Because God loves sinners. He don't want to see him go to hell. So he'll knock and knock and knock. How many of you that he knocked on your heart when you finally gave in? Maybe years and years he's only obligated one time. Aren't you glad he kept on knocking? Amen. Why did he not? Because of love. Because God loved the sinner. He did not love to see you bound. He did not love to see you smoking cigarettes. He did not love to see you bound but drinking. He wanted to see you free tonight in the house of God. God loves the sinner. Oh, Lord. I love the way he separates this. God looked down from the heavens. God hates sin. He loves the sinner. But he hates his works. But if we're not careful, you know what we do? We throw the sinner and his works in the same pile and burn the whole bunch of them. You know why? Because we're not godly in our aspect of love. Many folks are very fitting for this message. It's an Elijah anointing. It's an Elijah spirit. Ain't nobody right but me. I'm the only one going. I'm the only one, God. All of them's evil. God said, I've got 7,000 that ain't bowed their knee to Baal. Come on now. That's why denominational spirits are so easy to form around this message. Because we're already such isolationists anyway. We already put everybody else out. Then we get our own little circle and ain't nobody going but us. We're going to be surprised when we get there, I guarantee you. You reckon heaven's this big and it's just going to be you and your little group? What do y'all want? 1.5 million acres apiece? Friends, there's going to be folks there that you'll be surprised that'll walk through them gates. And there may be some that you thought would be there that won't be there. And the biggest surprise of all is you'll make it. You'll make it through all your shortcomings and all your failures. And somehow the grace of God was able to pull you beyond yourself into the paradise of God. Watch this. Brother Bam says to hold up a little church doctrine somewhere because the organization wouldn't agree with it. Selling your birthrights for a mess of pottage. Esau, you miserable hypocrite. That's right. You're selling your birthrights for a mess of pottage, for a mess of denomination. A mess of organization that God hates. Just remember, you say organization, God hates it. Now, listen to me carefully. I hate every organizational system. Amen. Whether out there or in this message. But I hate no one in the system. But I hate that system. You understand? I hate that system. I hate why? Because it comes from the devil. And many of those people are there, good, sincere people, and they don't know any better. But do I hate all the Baptists? I don't hate any Baptists. Do I hate all the Baptists? I don't hate any Methodists. I don't hate any Catholics. I don't hate any Church of God. I hate that system that binds them up to that old mark of the beast, though. I hate the same thing that comes right inside this message. And you gotta belong to a certain clique. You gotta go here. You gotta do there. I hate that very same thing, but I hate no one on this earth. Absolutely no one. But you see, only a godly person can do that. What you'll find is on this side, on the left, they love everything and everybody. And then on the right, you find them that they hate everything and everybody. But the godly are right in the middle. They hate the things that are wrong, but love those that are caught up in the wrong. That's why folks can't do it. They're not godly in their aspect of love. So they justify being mean and hateful and hating people. Praise the Lord. Watch this again. God hates an organization. That's right. Now you see exactly what they're going to do. You see what they're going to do. Watch down through the church if they didn't do that. He hates an organization. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say to the church. But now if we're not careful, when we say organization, we'll put everybody under it and they take on that name. And remember, they will eventually come to a spot to where they'll be called in there and be identified with that move. Then God will rank them in that file. Praise the Lord. But there's not one person here that can say, this man or that woman or that, they crossed the line. You don't know that bit more than I do. They may be in there tonight and tomorrow. They may, by the weekend, they may be sitting in this church full of the Holy Ghost, believing the message of the hour. And then you condemn them to hell and pronounce their judgment. We got no right to do that. There's only one God. I'm not polytheistic. I don't worship more than one. I sure ain't going to worship you. Come on now. There's only one God who knows the end from the beginning. He knows who's crossed the line and who hasn't. Oh my. You assembly of God. You Pentecostal oneness and the church of God. Don't you see, brethren, what you've done? You went right straight back to that thing that God hated. But notice what he calls them. You assembly of God, you Pentecostal oneness, you church of God. Don't you see, brethren, what you've done? You went right back to that thing. So brethren went right back to that thing that God hated. Praise the Lord. Don't you understand there can be brothers in our message that have gone right back to that thing that God hated? I mean, they're not brothers? No. Brother Ben didn't say, just because y'all done that, you ain't no longer brothers. I hate every one of you. Amen. Amen. God hates hate. God hates that kind of hate. That is not pure. It is not holy. It's murderous. Watch people that live under that. See how much mercy they have. See how much forgiveness, pardon, how much love they have. Praise the Lord. Can I go on? In them churches are fine people, but it's a system that binds them. It's not the church itself. It's the people in the church. It's the system that binds them, puts them into a place, breaks out fellowship, won't let them go on with God. What a pitiful thing. That sounds like some of the message circles, don't it? You can't fellowship if you ain't Seven Thunder. Or you can't fellowship if you ain't Two Soul or Perusia or this church or that church. And you ever leave this man, you're marked off. You're a mark of the beast. I always find it so amazing that your pastors talk about people that come to their church. They're the cream of the crop until they have a problem or something going on in that church or something with that pastor. And then they leave. And then they go somewhere else. And then they turn into Blue John. Or they turn into something else. You know, something real sorry and rotten. What are you saying? What in the world happened that they was the cream of the crop? So you understand their view. They were cream as long as they were under them. And then once they left them, they turned into garbage. So it wasn't that they were cream. It wasn't that they was these fine, wonderful people. They were fine and wonderful as long as they sat under this man. I want you to be the kind of people that if you leave here and go to Brother Temperance or go somewhere else to church, that I can be able to say about you, that is a real Christian. That is a real brother. He'll be a blessing to your church. She'll be a blessing. Is that what kind of people we want to be? Where we're not just fine, wonderful people as long as we come to Happy Valley. But whether we come to Happy Valley or Evening Life Fellowship or Evening Life Tabernacle, wherever we go, we take our godly walk, our godly talk, our godly character, our benefit about the kingdom of God, we take it with us. I got branded many years ago, and many of the message folks, as being a Pentecostal. They branded me and they thought that they was doing me a disfavor, calling me Pentecostal. To me, I took that as a compliment. Now, they didn't mean it as a compliment at all. But because I wouldn't comply with this circle, I got kicked out. I wouldn't comply with that circle. I'm no longer in fellowship. I don't comply with this one. You know what? I don't plan on complying with none of them. They ain't no man going to tell me what to preach, when to preach, how long to preach it, where I can go, where I can't go. Come on, church. I want to be led of the Holy Ghost. I hate organization. You know why? I'm a godly man. Hey, I ain't gonna bang no bones around it. I am a godly man. Praise the Lord. You said, Brother Dunnett, what? What's wrong with me saying who I am? What's wrong with me saying what I am? I can jump and shout and get as high as I can live. I'll tell you one thing. I can jump high because I live high. You say you shouldn't say that. I reckon I should. This is my confession. This is who I am. Come on, children. We should not be ashamed to confess who we are in Christ Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than an overcomer. I'm not going to barely make it through Laodicea. I'm not hanging on by the skin of my teeth. He's already made it for me. I'm married to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no devil that can pull us down as a people of God. My, my. It's that system behind them that binds them, Brother Bim says. Breaks out fellowship. Won't let them go with God. Pitiful thing. That's what God hates. Not the people in there, but the system that's binding them is what He hates.
Amen.
It's that organization that tells them if they go to another church, they're going to be excommunicated. Can't you see that same spirit in the message? And then all of a sudden, my goodness, people you went to church with for years and years and years, you have a difference that you can't reconcile, and they won't even speak to you no more, and you're going to the same heaven? We're going in the same rapture, in the same moment, in the same body change? Don't you see what it is? It's the same spirit of organization. That you're a godly, holy person as long as you're in our clique, and when you get out of our clique, you don't click. Well, praise the Lord. I hate that. But I don't hate none of the people that's in it. I love this one here. God hates a powerless religion. A godly man hates a powerless religion. A godly woman hates a powerless religion. Now some folks around this message love a powerless religion because they're not godly in this aspect. They do not want a religion that produces power to overcome, power to live right. You know what? That's why many of them, even in searching out for a pastor, they'll search out for a pastor who's got family problems or a pastor who's got marriage problems. Why? It helps them. Can't you see why our nation's where it's at? You put a good man running for a political office, a man that's unscathed, his life cannot be touched, he'll not be voted in. Why? People don't want that kind of man. They want a man that they can catch in lies. They want a man that's crooked like themselves. Come on now, don't get look funny at me. It's the truth. And folks want a preacher the same way. They don't want a man that lives a godly life, a holy life, that lives above them. They go, oh my, he preaches too hard, preaches too straight. This guy's got marriage problems. I can go there because I've got marriage problems. And I've been married 3 or 4 times. And I want to find a man that's been married 2 or 4 times myself. And this man, he's got problem with this and problem with that. That's my kind of man. What's wrong with you? I'd want to find a man that's a godly man. A man that lives the word. A man that walks the word. Any religion today that hasn't got Christ in it is powerless. But any religion that Christ is under his own blood, it's got power in it. You say, God hates a religion without power? He said, your solemn feast is a stink. I guess he does hate it. He said, it makes me sick. Remember, he told us rich Laodicean church, because you're lukewarm. In other words, you make me sick. I spew you out of my mouth. We've come up to that age. God sent us an Isaiah to chop the thing to pieces. Lay it out before the people. Cry out and spare not. And Happy Valley said,
amen.
Amen. You think he'd be accepted? Certainly not. But he'd cry just the same. He'd be accepted here. Praise God. They're getting rid of the prophet. They don't want his message no more. Fine. All them tapes you don't want, send them to the library. We'll find a home for them. All them books you people are leaving, you don't want them no more, send them here. We'll even pay you postage for them. What you want to throw in the garbage, we'll put in the hungry hands of saints of God that are hungry and thirsty to be called to the supper in the last day. You're not even fit to come anyway. Go back to your vomit of your denomination. God hates powerless religion. I hate powerless religion. I hate powerless church. I hate powerless lives. I hate a powerless message. It's just words only and no power. Come on, children. Notice, God hates powerless religion. It's got to have power in it. It's got to have sincerity. Sincerity brings power. Sincerity brings real worship, not forms, but genuine power worship. Glory! Genuine power worship to know that you've passed from death unto life. Now let's look at another attribute of a godly man. A godly man is like God in holiness. Now, holiness is not a form of a Pentecostal religion. My uncle's church many, many years ago, where I found the Lord, or where the Lord found me, I should say, it was called Highway Holiness Church. Little independent Pentecostal church, really just a Nazarene on steroids, basically. Just a little further advanced than the Nazarene. But independent churches in there, you'll still see a few of them around. I know where a few still are today. Over in Barberville, Kentucky, Pineville, here and there, and you'll see them on the side of the road. Holiness. Now, probably if you'd look at a lot of them, they wouldn't look like holiness anymore. But yet, they've still got the name out on the sign. But holiness is not a form. Holiness is not really a dogma. Now, we know that there is a doctrine of holiness. But I don't want to just point to the doctrine of holiness, but to the attribute of holiness. Now, God is revealed, we know, in glory. God is revealed in light. God is revealed in power, in mercy, in grace. But one of the attributes by which God chooses to reveal himself in is also in the attribute of holiness. Now, so that doesn't mean then that God gets his hair cut regularly and God has long sleeves and, you know, God wears a tie. But holiness is actually a divine attribute of God. Then what man does, man brings it down and then he says, well, you got to do this and you got to do that. You have to have certain length in that. And that's what we call holiness. But real true holiness is an attribute of deity. So a godly man reflects holiness, not just by the way he looks. And the same with a godly woman. A woman having a long dress and long hair and all that sort of thing. Not looking worldly and look like she went through the dime store with a magnet on. Got enough jewelry on where she weighed down 187-pound ox where she comes to. But real holiness is something that emanates from within and then reflects itself on its way out. Amen. Watch this now, Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Now notice how Moses catches the deity of God, how that it is actually revealed in multi-aspects of his attributes. Who is like thee, glorious in holiness? Now look at this word. It's Kodesh, which is apartness, sacredness, separateness, or set apartness. So holiness is not just so much on the outside, but it is a state by which a person enters into, and then what they do on the outside shows the state they're doing from the inside out. Now we know many comply to the dress code of the message and to the dress code of the UPC and the apostolic, and they look holiness on the outside, but they're not set apart in here. Real holiness is birthed from within. You see the need to set yourself apart from the world. You see a need to act different, to dress different, to talk different. So it comes from in here. Then what's on the outside is only a deeper reflection of the wellspring that lays within the soul. Now notice, and so this is an attribute of God, that God is actually glorious in holiness. Glorious in holiness. So God's power makes him mighty. But yet Moses said he's glorious in holiness. His mercy makes him lovely. But his holiness makes him glorious. Strange. I mean, you'd think that the light emanating from Sinai, that would be the glory. No, it's the set apartness of God that makes him so glorious. Because there's none like him. You understand that? There's none like him, so his holiness sets him apart from all the other gods. Let's talk about Shintoism, let's talk about Buddhism, let's talk about all the other things, origins of the world, but he within his own character is set apart because of who he is. So it's not what we have made Christianity. It is not what we have proclaimed Christianity is, or what we have made the Bible. It is what his own holiness has said about himself. Christianity is not like any of the rest of the religions of the world because God himself set it apart from all the religions of the world. So a godly man, in an analogy of this, will bear resemblance to God in that he is also reflecting God in holiness, not just for the way he looks on the outside, but he is set apart. Look at this in Isaiah chapter 63, verse 18. The people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. And here Isaiah referring to the kingdom of Jerusalem or Israel. And he said, the people of thy holiness. So here the children of Israel have obtained the attribute to be called the people of God's holiness. How could they ever be the people of God's holiness? Because they were set apart like he was set apart. Notice again Romans 6:19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you've yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Now notice how I run the parallel when we were in sin. We yielded our members to iniquity unto iniquity. Now yield your members services to righteousness unto holiness. Now sin only leads to more sin. But yielding our members to the righteousness of God, it reveals more than just righteousness. It reveals from righteousness unto holiness, which is hagamios, sanctification, consecration, purification, sanctification of heart and life. So a person, as they walk with God and they become more godly, then maybe on the outside the woman will cut in her hair. She don't understand why, but she'll stop cutting it. She'll go to her closet, she'll clean out her dresses, and she'll straighten up. Really on the outside, she just begin to comply because she feels bad when she comes to church. And she hears it keep preached on, but it's never really moved to where this is something inside of her life. As she grows with God, same with the man, as they grow with God, then they will find out from the new birth, from the soul, the attribute of true holiness will begin to emanate from within. Where before it was on the outside. I don't know why we can't wear pants. I don't know why we can't do this, but that's what they believe at the church, and that's where I'm going to go. But eventually, if they walk on with God, it'll become to a spot to where they say, oh, it's from the heart. My Lord don't want me to. He don't want me to because he looks at it as being worldly and ungodly. And that's why then there's a different appearance about a woman who's doing it from the soul than a woman who's just doing it from the outside. They'll have a spirit about them. They'll have an attitude about them, even though they got long hair and a long dress, but they're missing something. You met people like that? And you wonder, what is it about them? It's the missing part in here. It's the holiness, the sanctification from within. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice now he says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. So you're a fruit tree in the garden of God. So your fruit is holiness and your end is everlasting life. When there ain't no more devil, I'll be. When there ain't no more sickness, I'll be. When there ain't no more kidney stones, backaches, headaches, stomach aches, we'll still be. When there ain't no more sin, we'll still be shouting down the streets of gold. Why? Because our end is everlasting life. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us ourselves. You mean the Holy Ghost ain't going to do it every bit of me? Just sit back in an easy chair and just drink spiritual iced tea and sup up on moon pies and RCs and all that sort of thing and him do everything? There's things I've got to do if it's going to get done. And the same with you. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. Dear Lord, surely he ain't speaking to Christians. Brother Horn, you don't believe that. You do. Lord have mercy. If you don't, you're a nut. Paul said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from filthiness. You mean after they done got the Holy Ghost? After the dearly beloved of God, they've still got filthiness in their flesh? Oh! alias Black Dog. You might as well go ahead and admit to it. Those of us who admit that we've got it, we've done, it's done past us. We don't acknowledge it. We've got ours whooped down to where he's about this big now. Those of you that think you ain't got one, yours is still about that big. He's crossed up with a pony by now. Put a saddle on that dude and a bridle in his mouth. I ain't got no black dog. What you riding, boy? Might have to look that thing in the mouth. Come on, church. God cannot help us until we acknowledge what we are. Why did Paul need to write this? He wanted his people to be able to know what they were after they got the Holy Ghost. And they would have to cleanse themselves from all filthiness of the flesh. That's amazing, the first part of this verse. But listen to the rest of it. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. You mean I've got to cleanse my spirit? And what is my spirit made of? Made of five limits: imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. So I have the ability, not only the ability, but the responsibility to cleanse my spirit, my imagination, my conscience, my memory. Come on, children. You let the devil beat you down. You let the devil wear you out. And on the other hand, you're waiting on God to do it. And God said, I'm waiting on you all. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'm talking about a godly man and a godly woman. Having therefore these promises, dear beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So when a woman perfects holiness, what does she do? Get a longer dress? Now, if all holiness is your dress, what would you do? Get a longer dress than what you had before, and that would make it more holy. So us men, instead of getting our hair cut just right above the ear, we go up here on the side of the head. Is that perfected? Where is it? Holiness is more than just the outside. And it will reflect from the outside. But many reflect it from the outside that don't have it within. And many think they've got it within and don't reflect it on the outside. But the godly have both. Let me tell you something, friends. Sin and holiness never meet without a fight. Holiness discharges its fire of zeal against sin. And sin spits its venom of malice at holiness. That's good, Annie. Y'all put it on your fridge. We'll put that on the devil's tombstone. You see, holiness makes us fit for communion with God. Since God is a set apart God, is Buddha a set apart God? He's a man-made image. Praise the Lord. What about Allah? He is a fictitious thought of a false prophet. I realize that's not politically correct to say in this day, but when have I ever worried about that? So is he separate, just like all the rest of the man-made gods? But what about this God? He ain't like none of them, because he ain't man-made. Oh, praise the Lord. So then will not his sweetheart, will not his wife, will not she have to be a people that are set apart, not just set apart by making ourselves set apart, but let's go to him who set himself apart and say, what do you want me to do? I don't want to make myself this or that, but what do you want me to do? Oh my. Notice in Ephesians 4:24. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Amen. Listen, men. God wants a godly man to be a man of holiness. Purity set apart. You don't cheat, lie. You're not dishonest like the rest of the world. A godly man is also a lover of the word. He reads it. He studies it. He hides it. He eats it. He devours it. He meditates on it. He loves its reproach. He loves its reproof. He loves its doctrine. He loves its correction. Now you know, friends, Christian men love depth. Many Christian men love the psychological side of the word, which will take the word and explain things in such a way that appear to the psychological side of a human being. But a godly man loves that word when it tears him limb from limb. A godly woman does the same. Praise the Lord. Look here, Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Now if a man in the Old Testament, which had so many very few books of God's word, if he could say that about the word, what would he have done with the New Testament? My, as I've said before, if David had a spell, my, rejoice in the word of God over the law, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. It's a good thing he lived back on instead of living today. If David would have lived today in this New Testament under the message of this hour, if he had come to this church, the deacons would have to set him down every service. Why, David would be jumping, he'd be leaping, he'd be shouting to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to have the word of God, to have the message of the hour. David would be a sight. Woo, Robert. Notice he said this, Psalms 119 verse 97. Mim, oh how love I thy law. It is the meditation, my meditation all the day. Verse 113, Shemek, I hate vain thoughts. But thy law do I love. The law that put you in jail? He loved what put him in jail? Can you imagine him reading the book of Romans? Can you imagine him reading, for whom he foreknew them he also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son? Woo, glory to God. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine David sitting there reading these things? If he loved the law that put him in jail, can you imagine loving the word that brought him out? Oh, imagine the message of the hour which he could set in here preaching this day. I really believe, friends, the reason it don't do more force is because we don't love it right. We don't love it right. I'm not saying you don't love it now, but we don't love it right. If the law would do this to a man without the Holy Ghost, what would this gospel do? Notice Psalms 119:163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We don't love the word enough. That's why we get our feelings hurt about so much stuff. Notice Job 23:12. I know it seems foolish maybe to the world. But Job said, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. not snacks. Not I love the world more than my in-between meal snacks. I love the Word more than my main meals. Oh my. Psalms 119:72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. My. And people will give up the Word. They'll break the Word for hundreds, much less thousands. They'll let go of the principles of the Word to be dishonest on a little deal, on a little this or that, for a few measly $100 or $150 or whatever it be, and they'll let it go. And David said, oh, this Word was worth more to me than thousands of gold and silver. Brothers, do you love His Word? Do you read it at home? On your job? On your phone? Or do you spend more time on Fox News? On Yahoo and Google? On the stock exchange? You better start reading the book that tells you about soul exchange. And body exchange. So we can make a world exchange. Praise the Lord. There's no reason for us. Probably a great majority of the people in this church have got a smartphone or a phone. You could have that Bible right there. You could have the message right there. But if you don't love it, you may have access to it 24 hours a day. If you don't love it, I'm not a preacher. What's that got to do with eating on the Word? Most of y'all ain't preachers. That mean all y'all don't like chicken? Preacher's the only one that got option on chicken. What about eating? Preacher's the only one got options on eating food. Hamburgers, french fries, taters, maters. If I don't have the only option, these other brothers don't have the only option on eating naturally. I don't have the only option on eating spiritually. The problem is we don't love it right. Well, don't you pray into the kidney stone on me so I don't have to preach. Oh my. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands. Brother Ram says this. I love the Word. The Holy Spirit feeds on the Word. Christians. Christians, not preachers. Christians should always read the Bible. For the Holy Spirit feeds, its food is the Word of God. The Holy Ghost don't feed on USA Today. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with you reading on that and catching up on what's the latest. I mean, if you ain't got your latest fix of depression of what's going on here and the latest lie from the White House and the latest lie from here and there and the other, what's beneficial in all that bunch of garbage? There's only one hope for this world, and that's Jesus. It ain't a Democrat, it ain't a Republican, it ain't a Communist, it ain't a Socialist, it's the lily of the valley. And there'll be no real peace till the Prince of Peace comes back. My man shall not live by bread alone. Amen. There it is. But every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that's what the Christian lives on. The Word. The Holy Spirit loves the Word. A godly man loves the Word. My brothers, you only read your Bible 2 or 3 times a week? I question your love. I question your godliness in this aspect. Your hair may be the right length. My, you may never have lipstick on. I hope not. You may never wear mascara. I hope not. You may look like a man on the outside, but if you don't love the Word, there's something missing in your godliness. Whew. You said it's awful straight. I was just getting you ready for this next quote. Brother Bem said, I love the Word, don't you? And you know why you love the Word? You have the Holy Spirit in you. A godly man, a godly woman too, loves the Word. Oh my. You know why you love the Word? You have the Holy Spirit in you. For the Bible said that man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So the Holy Spirit feeds on the Word. So what if we try to feed our body the amount of times we come to church? I'll be having a bunch of funerals. Some folks only come to Happy Valley on Sunday morning. I realize some of them live a long way away and they can't come. Others of them's too sorry. They're too busy on Saturday night. They got other things they'd rather do and places they'd rather go. Come on. So I wonder if we start feeding our bodies on the same schedule that we come to church. Well, if our bodies can't make it just every now and then, there's no way our soul can, but we think it can. We think we're okay by not feeding the Word. Friends, we're not. We die spiritually. We die. God never intended just for you to feed on me, for you to feed on my gift. Brother Terry, Brother David, Brother Darrell, Brother Gene. God never intended. God meant for the Holy Ghost inside of you to feed on the Word of God in a personal walk. Does anybody ever get weak when you don't have food to eat? Most of you don't do without food enough to know you don't get weak. I know we don't fast no more. We feast now. We have feasting and prayer. Well, for the last few weeks since I've had this kidney stone, I've tried the office concoctions and stuff that you can imagine. There's a coke and an asparagus thing that I've tried several times since I've had kidney stones, and Jenny will pass them, and I generally do pass them. You drink 72 ounces of coke within a 2-hour period. Then you take a marvelous glass of asparagus. You put the can of asparagus into a blender, mix up just enough water to make it yucky, and then drink it. And then if you're still alive, then you start drinking water, 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 water. So in the last several weeks, I've drunk more than I've eaten. I've drunk lemon juice, I've drunk apple cider vinegar, I've drunk all kinds of things. But you know what? I ain't been able to eat very much. Now my belly's full, but I ain't getting no nutrients out of it. I did tell Carol I thought I'd donate my body to science after I get done this kidney stone. Then tell me what it'll look like on the inside. I figure I'll be like pickled bologna. Now I'm full, and I feel really, really full, but I'm not getting no nutrients out of that apple cider vinegar. I ain't getting no nutrients out of that lemon juice. I ain't getting no nutrients out of that water. And because of that, I've got weaker and weaker and I've lost some weight. Don't you understand it works the same way spiritually? That people fill up on vacations and they fill up on this and they fill up on that. Oh, they're not drinking. They're not all that sort of thing. But they're filled up. Man, I feel so full. Oh, man, what a weekend down at Dollywood. Oh. I feel so full, so refreshed. Excuse me. Man, that was so good. Let's go somewhere next weekend. And then next weekend we'll go over there. And then next weekend. And then Wednesday night, that was so good. Let's go over here. Let's go over there. And before long, you're as fat as a tick on a fat dog. But you know what? You're getting weaker and weaker. You ain't got no power to overcome sin. You ain't got no power to overcome things around you. And you're looking at something. You're just waddling around. Two liters of Dollywood, 2 liters of Knoxville, 1.5 liters of Asheville. Don't let me leave out Charleston, since that's a favorite getaway. Then we wonder why we come to church, wonder how many more pages he's got. I ain't gonna tell you. Listen to this. Brother Bam said, if Christ is in you, the life of Christ, you will be the lover of the Word. Anybody here besides me love food? God forgive the rest of these liars. Now, certain foods I'm with you on it, but food in general, I love food. I'm talking about good tasting food. You love food? Do you ever get to hungering for something? Like a certain something and whatever, you know, that you in your home that you eat and you ain't had it in a while and you get to, oh man. Oh my, I ain't gonna mention that because y'all be leaving right now going home. Children, what ought it to be about the word? When you say, oh my, oh man, it's been a while since I've read that Psalms 23. Oh man, I can almost taste that now. The Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Oh. And that's Psalms 46:1 and that's Psalms 91:10. Oh man. Psalms 119 verse 176. Oh man, I love thy word, Lord. I love thy word. Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh. Oh my. No, Lord, I can't wait to get my phone out. I can't wait to get my Bible out. I can't wait, Lord, just for a minute after I get out of Walmart. I'm going to sit there in the parking lot. I'm going to take 2 minutes. I'm going to put it up on my phone. I'm going to sit right there and I'm going to be a smart man and I'm going to read the smart book off of my smartphone. And I'm going to feed my soul a little bit of nutrients right here in the parking lot of Walmart. You ever go in the grocery store and you get your favorite whatever it is, and that thing looks so good that you never make it to the house? One of the sisters in our church, and I'll not mention her name, she went to the store and got some donuts for her and her family. Needless to say, her family never tasted those donuts. Because by the time she got home, she had them every one at. Why? She loved them donuts. Oh my. Children, what would it be? What would it be if that hunger down inside of our soul? If we'd get that word and say, oh God, I skipped yesterday, Lord, I skipped lunchtime, God, I don't need to do that again. Lord, I want to read this, Lord, I want to, God, I can't wait to get back to church again, Lord. I can't wait, Lord, to be able to feed on your word, I hunger for it, Lord. Oh my. You know, David said he hid God's word in his heart, Psalms 119, verse 11. By hiding it in your heart, you're considering it a great treasure. You've buried it. The word is a jewel. And your heart is the cabinet or the box by which it is put in. Not your head now. Not your head. Malachi 4 didn't come to turn our heads. Come to turn our hearts. Many hide the word in their memory. Oh my, but not in their heart. I'd rather have less in my heart than I would up here. You can have a whole bunch of it up here. But if it never gets down in your heart, it don't really do you a lot of good. A godly man not only loves to read the word, but a godly man loves to preach word. The scriptures, I found this, let me read this to you. The scripture are the sovereign oils and balms. The preaching of the word is the pouring of them out. So the scriptures and the quotes and the word are the bombs. Oh my. But the preached word is when the man of God takes that bomb and rubs it out on you. Oh, amen. The scriptures are the precious spices. But the preaching of the word is the beating of those spices, which causes a wonderful fragrance and delight. You know yourself, you read them words and them scriptures and you say, my, that was so good. And maybe you come to church that night and then the man of God will take from that same scripture you read that day and out of there comes things that you never even saw. Don't you see why? God took what you read and that anointed man of God began to beat on it and beat on it and it released that fragrance of the precious word. Oh, glory. You see, friend, a corrupt heart loves the comforts of the blessings of the word. But boy, it can't handle the reproofs. Many corrupt hearts Love the blessings and the benedictions and my, the bountiful blessings. But only a godly man with a godly heart loves reproof. Notice Amos 5:10 and we'll close. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. Let me close with this. A godly man will not continue to sit under a ministry that does not search his heart. A godly man will not be able to year after year after year after year sit under a ministry that does not search his very soul. Now, Christian men will. Christian men love it. They can go and sit. They're never preached on. They're never really offended. They know the word because the man always cuts every corner and all that sort of thing. Knows everything going on in the church, so he just ain't going to deal with it. But a godly man says, God, I need to be corrected. God, I need the avenues of my life looked at. God, I can't stand to sit under a ministry that don't discern my very soul. Oh, I know some of you would rather have a preacher that's standing up here and turn his back and, you know, somebody behind me's got a back pain. Lord have mercy. Somebody here tonight's got a burden. Really? That wouldn't be no discernment. The discernment would be tell us which one don't. I feel it on this side of the building. Somebody's got something you're praying about. Boy, that is deep. But people love that. Oh, they love that. Your burdens, brother. It's always so vague. It'll hit you and 37 people around you, so you ain't gonna miss. I'd rather a man of God never stood up there with a bunch of acting and a bunch of foolishness trying to act like a prophet. Preach that simple gospel. Look me straight in the eye and let that word go right down in my heart. And that word just opened my very heart. That word, out of the mouth of that simple man, that word just say things that I prayed about that very day. And we want to be discerned. We want somebody to call our name out. My Lord, friend, that is even greater to me than just discerning your outside body when that word knows the secrets of our hearts. Let me close. So if I come upon you one day, a dog has your leg in his mouth. A bear is mauling you. Some animal, something is tearing you to pieces. And I kill the animal. Are you going to be angry at me? Really? You mean you're going to hug my neck? You're going to thank me because I spared you? Why would you get mad at me over preaching against sin? I see this thing gnawing on you, and I see the end result. I've seen it before and before and before and before. And I'm telling you, don't go that way. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's a deceiver. And I try to kill that thing. And you come and say, why don't you mind your own business? There'd be something mentally wrong with you. A godly man loves the word. And may I say, a godly woman. Let's stand. How many of you desire to sit under a ministry that can search your very heart? Amen. Me too. Me too. Amen. Praise the Lord. For truly, I want to be a godly man. I don't want to just be a Christian. I want every aspect of my life to reflect godliness. I don't want to be a godly man just in front of my wife. I don't want to be a godly man just in front of you. I want to be a godly man when I'm by myself. When nobody is watching me. I want to be nice. I want to have love, forgiveness, all the things that a Christian's supposed to have. I'm going to have it all my life, every day of my life. I don't want to switch on that where I switch it on Wednesday, and then I switch it off on Thursday. And then I switch it on Friday when I run into you at Lowe's. And then I switch it off whenever I get back out again. I want my switch to stay always on. What about it, brothers? Do we want to be godly men? This last preach to us last Wednesday night, loving Jesus. Just loving, falling in love with Him. More and more and more. And our lives are so wrapped up in Him that people may say about us, these men are ignorant and unlearned for sure. But there's one thing about it. They have been with Jesus. He's rubbed off on them. You can tell they've been around Him so much they act like Him. Praise God. We got a request here before we pray for Kaylee Davis. She got sick in the service. Had to leave. Let's bow our heads right now if you would. And in view, not only men, but sisters as well. You want to be godly sisters. You brothers, you want to be godly men. Hate what God hates. Love what God loves. Lord Jesus, what greater thing could be said about us, Father, than we would be godly? Every one of us are going to be known for one or many things about our life. When we leave our life and we're finished, in a few years' time, the memory of us will begin to disappear. The next generation, and then the next, it'll be so faint, hardly nobody will even know us. My mom and daddy now both gone. I was thinking the other day, Erica's children, they only know them by name. As I was telling them the other day about my mama, and they was looking at me because they didn't know her. So here my mama has become just someone they hear me talk about, or Erica, or Carol. So each of us will leave behind something. Will we be known as a flirt? Will we be known as a liar, a cheat? Let me be known as a godly man. Lord Jesus, may each of us, I pray, have such a desire in our heart to be like You. Truly, God-likeness. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Father, this one that had to leave tonight, I pray for her, Lord. In Jesus' name. You see what happened to her, Lord, having to leave the service. May the Spirit of God be with her, I pray, Lord. Lord, if there's any more sick among us, would You pass this way tonight, Lord? Heavenly Father, Brother Darrell leaving tomorrow to fly to Paris. Has some meetings there, Lord, and then some other meetings the next weekend. Be gone for 10 or 11 days, I think, something like that. I pray that You'd go with him, Lord. Bless the saints there. Oh, happy day, Lord Jesus, when we all the godly, can gather together in that set-apart city with our set-apart King. And we'll live a set-apart life in a set-apart place. Lord Jesus, help us to be like You, I pray, Father. Grant it, Lord. Hey, let's sing, To Be Like Jesus. How many is that your desire tonight? Let's sing just a little bit before we go. To be like Him. To love like Him. To hate the things He hates. To forgive like Him. Remember, Brother Bam tells us that's a life worthy of the gospel. He said, are you so in love with your enemy that you pray for them? Not because you have to, but because you've got a love in your heart. Or do you try to look for an excuse to try to hate them and hide behind something? It'll never work, friends. You'll never leave this world with hate in your heart. You'll never be caught in a rapture by hating people. Praise the Lord. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. Yes, Lord. On earth alone, I wanna be like Him. All through life's journey, yes, Lord, with all my heart. Yes, Lord. Is this Your desire? Yes, Lord. Oh, I only ask, Lord, let me be like Him. Everybody. Oh, I want to walk like Jesus. Let me talk like Jesus. On earth, on this earth, to be like Him. Lord Jesus, let me be godly, Lord. Amen. Praise God. I want to be godly like Jesus. I want to be godly like Jesus. On earth, Lord Jesus. Minister to our sister tonight, Father, I pray. Godly like Him. Oh, through life's journey, to glory, I only ask, oh, let me be like Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you turn and lay your hand on that person by you? Let's offer a word of prayer before we go. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, as these believers have their hands one upon the other, eagle to eagle, believer to believer. Lord, maybe they're sick among us, weary, discouraged, distressed. Maybe a lack of godliness in their life in certain avenues. I pray in the name of Jesus, You minister to us tonight, Lord. Give us the strength and the ability to know the things that we must do. Give us the courage and to accept the things that we must act upon. Give us the wisdom to know the difference between what You will do and what we must do. Give us the courage, Father, to face the things that we must face. May we know that when holiness and sin meet, they are each other's throats, as it were. It will be a great conflict. It will be a great war. But, oh, Lamb of God, You never called us to a picnic. Father, You called us to an army. But we know, Lord, that the coming of the Lord lays right before us. We desire to be ready, Lord God. Minister to the needs of Your people tonight, I pray, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. How many believes it? With all your heart? Thank You, Lord. Let me ask you this question. Have y'all heard the news? Jesus is coming soon. Have y'all heard the news? Jesus is coming soon. Have y'all heard? Y'all heard the news. Jesus is coming soon.
Jesus is coming soon. Have y'all heard the news? Jesus is coming soon. Have y'all heard the news? Jesus is coming soon. Have y'all heard the good news? Jesus is coming soon. You better get ready, 'cause Jesus is coming.
Sing this verse to me. Have you heard the good news? I'm going to lead you to a body change. Have you heard the good news? Skin of Donnie Reagan. I'm going to lead you to a body change. Have you heard?
Because I've heard the message of Jesus. Oh, and I'm getting ready to fly. Have y'all heard the good news? Oh, have y'all heard the good news? Oh, Jesus is coming soon. Have y'all heard the good news? Oh, Jesus is coming soon. Oh, you better get ready, cause Jesus is coming.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. Love you so much. Brother Homer Longoria be with us this weekend. This is come expecting the Lord to speak to our hearts. Go in the fear of God. Let's say it a little bit different. Yes, I've heard the news. Jesus is coming soon. Yes, I heard the news. Jesus is coming soon.